monitoring the mountains of the West, parting the Pine Curtain of the East, and keeping watch over the prairies and hills in between. Here's your Texan-in-Chief, Robert Pratt, with Pratt on Texas.
From the True Texan Studio on the high ground of Texas, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas on a day that ought to be called Texas Tornado Day. This is your home, my friends, on Pratt on Texas for Texas political and news analysis, and we do it without a corporate management muzzle or leash. Our Lone Star story of the day, man makes himself the star of a Texas House political campaign and then sues the candidate he disparaged all over television every few moments for weeks and weeks for what he claims to be defamation. It's the classic story of wanting to have your cake and eat it too. That out of House District 84. Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, providing affordable turnkey drug and alcohol testing programs for business and institutions, truckers and fleet owners. Allied Compliance Services is your best friend in compliance with DOT testing regs. Reach the best in compliance at AlliedCompliance.com. The problem with Roe versus Wade for everyone should be a problem for everyone, no matter your position on abortion. We talk about that with Thomas Gipling, senior legal fellow at Heritage, in a podcast extra. I'll bring you a little bit of what he had to say here on the program today. We've got local sales tax numbers in for your local cities, and New Border Security Coalition is presenting a roadmap to Congress to end the border crisis, and I like it. I think it's a doable thing in the next Congress, if we can just get the right people in there and motivate them to move. And by the way, Governor Abbott's knee-jerk failed border inspection program that blew up on him is going to cost us maybe hundreds of millions, maybe billions, who knows, in investment in Texas over the next many years. It's going to cost us bigly, to use a Trump word, over time if things continue as they are. Listen anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your schedule. Get the podcast, a recording of today's show, and long-form interviews like this interview with Thomas Gipling, a senior legal fellow at the Meese Center at the Heritage Foundation. You can get those at PrattOnTexas.com. It's free of charge. As always, it is, my friends, a great day to be a Texan. It sort of is Tornado Day. I mean, in 1953, on May 11th, Waco had the giant tornado that hit its main center of the city, killed 114 people in 1953. The Waco tornado, 196 businesses were completely destroyed. And then on May 11th, 1970, the area where I live, Lubbock, Texas, and its downtown was hit by a major tornado. It actually had several vortices, 26 people were killed, and more than $135 million at the time in that money damage was caused. It was the biggest tornado hit a downtown. I officed for years in the skyscraper high-rise that was hit by the tornado, largest to ever been hit front-on and heavily and survive. There is a brand-new, if you're from the area or you've been in Lubbock, maybe you went to school here, next time you're here in front of the Civic Center where the fountains used to be, there is now a fabulous, very well done park with a memorial to the tornado, and the granite walls, all these things follow the paths. And remember, the Fujita scale, Dr. Fujita did his research here, the seminal part of his research for University of Chicago that created the Fujita scale and really made us understand how these work was done on this tornado. You can go online and find his papers and drawings, and it's fascinating for you weather lovers. But that new memorial is just something else downtown in front of the Civic Center, right off Avenue Q. This was a big tornado day in Texas history. Our look at Texas history, sponsored by our friends at USA Investigations, providing surveillance, security, criminal and civil investigations, witness interviews and statements, and much more. Learn about the impressive team and investigate for detail at usainvestigations.net. Before I get to our Lone Star story of the day, we got some headlines and other things here. Big Spring police looking for a man accused of making threats at the radio station there at KBST. They tell us that a week or so ago, in the mid-afternoon, Big Spring police responded to KBST about a terroristic threat. They learned an unknown white male wearing a white shirt and black shorts entered the building and spoke with the front desk clerk. Unknown male began making death threats toward the employee and anyone inside the building before exiting and leaving in an unknown direction of travel. So they're looking for that person. If you're in media, get used to it. There were some people asking me one time, one time said, and they're all pro-gun guys and stuff, but I don't, you know, I think it's pretty stupid, actually, and a sign of low intelligence to think that you can predict where violent crime may happen to you. If we could do that, we would just stop violent crime. But somebody was kidding me or about having a firearm when I was on the golf course strapped on. And you know, all I've got to do, like these people at KBST, all I've got to do is look at them in the face and say, you've probably gotten in some near fights before, hadn't you? Stuff like, oh, yeah, yeah. Well, have you ever had Texas Rangers call you up and tell you there were credible threats against you that they have uncovered? Have you ever had Gold Shield detectives show up at your studio and tell you they're concerned that a certain person in town, a politician, might go crazy and take violent action towards you? Have you ever had actual written death threats from people who were already on law enforcement's radar? You know, it's... just a symptom of being in the public eye. And I just think it's funny when people think, well, you know, I'm going to know when the bad thing's going to happen. I'm sorry, you'd be filling your car up at the gas station when one of these carjackers comes to you or the person right next to you and begins indiscriminately firing or it begins to take someone's life or rob a store. You don't know. So the best thing to do is be armed. And the best way to be armed is know the law and have a license to carry, even you don't have to have one. We've got a podcast sponsor, one of our sponsors on the podcast, WestTexasJustice.com. They do great former Deputy U.S. Marshal and all kinds of things teaching those classes. And WestTexasJustice.com, one of our podcast sponsors. Be ready, be prepared. Pregnancy Resource Center in Denton, a Catholic Pregnancy Resource Center, has been vandalized over the weekend with spray paint by a bunch of, you know, pro kill the babies people, I guess. Sad story there. Before we get to our Lone Star story of the day, the big story out of House District 84, the ridiculous, I want to have my cake and eat it too drama that continues to play out. Let's get to the sales tax numbers. The top 20 plus some in the area from the state's list for local jurisdictions. Houston was up over almost 11.5%, San Antonio almost 10% up in this May report, Dallas up over 18.25%, Austin up 19%, Fort Worth up almost 10%, Arlington up 27%, Frisco sales tax collections up 24%, I'm rounding on these, El Paso a little more than 5.5% up, Round Rock was down 2%, Plano up 32% over the same period a year ago, Amarillo up almost 4%, Lubbock up 5.3%, Irving up 9.5%, McAllen up 7.25%, Corpus Christi down almost 2%, McKinney up 15.3% over the same period a year ago, Grand Prairie up 13.5%, Midland up 24% over the same period a year ago in sales tax collection, Sugar Land up 16.5%, Conroe up 11%, that's our top 20. Abilene was down 2.17%, but don't let them tell you they need to raise your property taxes because year to date they're up 13.25% over last year on sales tax collection. San Angelo was down 0.75%. They're up positive year to date, almost 6%. Sweetwater was up 9.3%. Levelland up almost 4%. Plainview up 10.5%. Canyon up 30.85%. Wow. Ballinger up 31.96%. I helped a little, but it won't be on this month's report. We stopped at Alejandra's. That is just such a great restaurant there and such a beautiful building and great art on the walls. Great place off the square in Ballinger recently. That's your sales tax report. So almost everybody, well, everybody's in the big positive year-to-date figure, so there's just no excuse at all for, despite appraisals, appraisals don't raise your property taxes. No, see, they don't. They all talk about the rate. We raised or lowered. The rate has no meaning at all. That rate and the mathematics behind it completely go away at the end of the fiscal year. What happens is they're after appraisals, they're given a new rate where they figure the effective rate, the no new revenue rate, where you have to set a new tax rate at the level that would bring in the same revenue from the existing properties. That's what they should adopt.
It's time for Pratt to breathe. Pratt on Texas returns in a moment.
If you're sick to death of the mainstream news, we invite you to check out 21st Century Watch magazine. We cover developments we have no choice but to watch from a biblical perspective. Not only is it priceless, it's free. Call 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. That's 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. A little hope would be nice.
I've told you about my wonderful experience with Dr. Sylvia Zuniga in dental care in Costa Rica. Not only was it among the most positive experiences and best dental work I've experienced, my trip to Costa Rica, one of the hottest tourist destinations on the planet, included a top hotel for a week, fancy dinners, airfare for both Isabel and me, and even a private driver. And the entire bill, total spending, was less than half of the best quote I got at home, a quote that was for much less dental work than I obtained from Dr. Zuniga. A couple from Lubbock now knows what I mean. They wrote to say, "We used your suggestion to go to Sylvia in Costa Rica. She was wonderful. Instead of $7,400, I spent $1,640, and not only for my dental work, but for my husband's too. It was a refreshing adventure, and she guided us in things to do. Thank you for letting listeners know." If you have big dental needs and challenges, learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and dental care by clicking the banner at prattontexas.com. See Sylvia's beautiful face and click the banner at my website, prattontexas.com.
It's bad enough to have your life upended financially, even worse with injury due to accident. Have you thought about what happens when the responsible party doesn't step up to make your loss whole? When you've been injured, the Liggett Law Group will work for you with integrity, advocacy, and results. Call Ted Liggett, the heavy hitter, at 806-744-HURT or visit LiggettLawGroup.com. Don't be cheated. Call Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group.
If you want shallow chit-chat, dead air, and amateur analysis, you're in the wrong place. This is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, and here's your prepared host, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. We'll get to our Lone Star story of the day in just a moment. Lieutenant Governor Patrick announced the appointments of Senator Paul Betancourt, who, by the way, is a great friend of conservatives and a good friend of our show. When I was done wrong, I found out Senator Paul Betancourt was on. I started getting calls from these national news organizations, which I did not want my 15 minutes of fame. I did not go on. I didn't want it. My lawyer said, don't jeopardize the money these people owe you. And I didn't. And but Betancourt was a guy calling everybody. Look what they did to Pratt and this cancel culture. God bless him. Senator Paul Betancourt and Senator Lois Kolkhorst have been named to the State Affairs Committee. Longtime listeners will know that Senator Robert Duncan of Lubbock chaired that committee for years. That is pretty much the most important committee in the Senate when it comes to policy. And Senator Jane Nelson, who is retired, and Democrat Senator Beverly Powell has suspended her re-election campaign. You know, she's got redistricted and quit, got all mad there in Tarrant County. Those two are off the committee. So Betancourt and Kolkhorst being added to the State Affairs Committee in the Senate. Sorry about that. I'm reaching for papers, and it makes me distracted. All right, big news. Our Lone Star story of the day is, well, here's the story in a nutshell. You know, sometimes the Spirit blesses me with the ability to put an entire story in a nutshell. Other times I'm covering it when it's so fresh that it just is so wordy you can't get it in. But here's the whole story of this drama in House District 84. You've got Carl Tepper, whom I've endorsed fully, friend, former Republican chairman after me. I mean, Carl's chairman of the State Republican Chairman's Association. He's solid conservative, and I've known him ever since he came to Texas Tech when he got out of the Air Force after the Gulf War. He was real active in college Republicans. I was running the Young Republicans Club, and we've been in politics together for a very long time. And he's being a young lawyer who's the son of a very fine man who I have always had a great relationship with and has been a huge help to Pratt on Texas over the years behind the scenes. Trial lawyers, plaintiff's bar trial lawyers, his son, David Glasheen, who simply in my book is probably a really good guy, but he hadn't earned his stripes. He just hadn't been out here fighting. It's easy to say what you believe, but before you run for the big brass ring, why don't you earn your stripes? He hasn't done so. And he's got all the money in the world, it seems, and they've spent more money than I've ever known in my life for a statehouse race, and they've still got a runoff coming up for the Republican nomination. Glasheen's trial lawyer, the kind, you know, where they sue people for accidents and stuff, plaintiff's bar. And so you got this big race. And the plaintiff's bar people found this man that's had it out for Carl Tepper for years and years and years, because Carl Tepper, on my show and others, stood up very strongly and said, look, I think we're being hoaxed in a sense on a lot of this homeless stuff, because if you'll remember, the left suddenly decided they loved the military and everything. If you could insert veterans into it, it became a big issue. And all of a sudden, most of our homeless are veterans. How shameful. And it's bull. It's bull when people have gone out and counted them. Yes, there are some, but it's way overstated. You got these bleeding heart liberals doing the counts. They go out, they don't know anything about the military. So these guys, you know, are wearing some old fatigue jacket they got in the free bin down at the Goodwill or whatever, and they tell you they're military vets. Well, Carl Tepper and friends went out and embedded military people in the count. And, you know, all of a sudden that when you could ask them questions, that number dropped. Meanwhile, nationwide, there's been an entire industry created for grant funding from taxpayers at every level to reach out. Because, you know, we love our veterans, to reach out to veteran homeless. Basically, it's, you know, the old thing about the movement becomes a business, then it becomes a scam. Where it's way overstated, you got all these people making money off of it, and you got this guy who's a former military guy, and he's been a government payroll guy. I think he taught at Tech, and my understanding is, I didn't even know during the campaign, he didn't even live in Lubbock anymore. I mean, maybe I'm wrong there, they can correct that, and I'm not afraid to correct anything on the air, but I've been told by multiple people the guy lives in Houston now. So the trial lawyer crowd in this race, they get this guy to do a TV commercial with, you know, his retired colonel, you know, so you don't really know anything about the man. And he just goes on and just beats the thunder out of Carl Tepper, who's a veteran himself, a war veteran, and how he hates veterans and, you know, everything else. And it's just awful. And this guy's been mad for a long time because it didn't aid his little veterans organization and the money they make out of it for salaries and stuff. It's funded by taxpayer grants. It didn't aid them to have people standing up and actually going out and stating publicly, look, this veteran homeless problem is way overstated. We vets will take care of our own. And anyway, so this guy is running on TV. He makes himself a public figure and steps himself into a political race and just disparages the heck out of Carl Tepper. Maybe right, maybe wrong. It's totally immaterial as to whether his charges have merit or not. He disparages Tepper every few minutes all over television in the Lubbock media market for weeks and weeks and weeks. And then when Carl Tepper comes on Pride on Texas and says one little phrase or two about this man takes, he gets all self-righteous and I've been defamed. I'm saying, talk about wanting your cake and eating it too. Now, they threatened a lawsuit, and apparently they've waited till, you know, past the May 7th elections. That's how you know all this is political, when they announced they were threatening a lawsuit, and then now all of a sudden they filed a lawsuit against Tepper for defamation. And by the way, thanks all the Lubbock media. I know it hurts you to put my name and stuff in here, but I'm glad. Thank you. I sincerely mean it. Some of you it doesn't. Some of you are quite fair, but to point out that what the guy's mad about was said on Pride on Texas. I mean, I'm not responsible for what a guest says. A guest says it, whatever. He didn't say anything that bad, but anyway, so they filed the lawsuit now in the 237th District Court in Lubbock. This David Lewis guy seeking monetary relief of more than $250,000, not less than $1 million. It's ridiculous. He was director of VetStar, a group that makes its money off taxpayer grants, to go out and look at all these, you know, and the size of Lubbock's homeless population doesn't even justify one full-time job, in my opinion. That's an opinion, by the way, you weird lawyers. The size of the homeless population, you know, we already have government agencies, police, everybody else taking care of situations. It doesn't justify one full-time job. That's my opinion. I know you think that's horrible, but a few dozen people out on the streets all the time, that just, you know, much less that agency and one or two or three or four or five or six or seven or a dozen more. Salvation Army does a good job. By the way, Tepper's been on that board and working with the Salvation Army for years and years and years, actually doing the work, not paid, unlike some other people involved in this. So, Lewis, folks, this is just one of the most shameless examples of wanting your cake and eating it too. Oh, I'm a private citizen. I've been defamed, everything. Oh, by what this politician said. Wait a minute. You stepped in and made yourself a part of a political campaign. And in the United States of America, political free speech is absolute. It's supposed to be. And this should be thrown out by the judge right away. Now, there are going to be people who say, well, I mean, come on, I can't, you don't lose your right. You accuse me of committing a crime, essentially, and all this stuff. And actually, he mentioned that there were allegations against the man, and I think that's completely fair. It's just crazy. In Tepper's statement, so they filed their lawsuit. So they asked Tepper to make a correction, clarification, or retraction multiple times through a variety of mediums. That's how KCBD reported it. I don't get that, because at the press conference I went to, they asked him to specifically come on my show and correct the records. I don't know. Tepper's statement, I'm running for state rep on my strong conservative principles and beliefs. My opponent, David Glashine, is a Sue Happy personal injury trial lawyer whose family has amassed its fortune from suing businesses in West Texas. To no one's surprise, I'm now being threatened with a lawsuit for money damages by Glashine's chief apologist. Instead of running this race at the ballot box on who can best represent Lubbock in the Texas House, Mr. Glashine chooses to litigate this at the courthouse through a proxy. It's not the American way and not the Texas way. And what's he going to do when he loses? Sue the voters and on and on. The real problem is this David Lewis guy. He wants his cake and he wants to eat it too. You can't have it both ways. You made yourself a political figure.
Keep that six shooter at your side. Front on Texas will be right back after this.
I tell you, my heart really goes out to those like me who are self-employed.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
Self-employed individuals have really been the very cornerstone of my agency.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually. I'm a policyholder myself. I sleep better at night knowing that I have this coverage in place in a way that won't break the bank and allows me to keep my family covered if something tragic does happen.
Life Health Dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
Constitutional carry is great, but it doesn't keep you out of jail if you cross state lines and does not provide you the background on law to make right, fast decisions under threat. You need official handgun license to carry training from West Texas Justice. Instructor David Mead offers full-service training, even for beginners. David is a retired Deputy U.S. Marshal and certified Texas licensed to carry instructor. License to carry training with West Texas Justice is only $65. Be wise, be trained, be legal. Inquire today at westtexasjustice.com. That's westtexasjustice.com.
There is a delicious treasure in Abilene not to be missed. It's Bell's Chicken Dinner House, where homemade, fresh, mouthwatering fried chicken and chicken fried steak, fabulous veggies, served family style with yeast rolls, and unbeatable homemade desserts are created for your dining pleasure. Bell's Chicken Dinner House, an Abilene treasure, is open to serve you lunch and dinner Thursday through Saturday and open Sunday for that perfect traditional after church lunch. Enjoy Bell's Chicken Dinner House Thursday through Sunday at Ambler and the Winters Freeway in Abilene.
Welcome, Texans, and those who wish you were. It's time for more Pratt on Texas. Now, here's your king of the Texas commentariat, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, this phenomenon, I want your cake and eat it too, is not new. I've been around this since I'm on the air for a very, very long time. You know, there's a political figure I've known my whole life in Lubbock, or not political, kind. Well, yeah, gets involved in politics, who just simply doesn't understand the property tax system and then goes publicly saying everything I'm saying is wrong, and he knows because he's rich and pays a lot of taxes. It's an extremely arrogant, ridiculous statement. I mean, what, are you your own accountant too and do your taxes because you're rich? I mean, you pay a lot of taxes. Why do you hire an accountant? Anyway, goes publicly saying I don't know anything I'm talking about, and when I respond, you know, he and his wife are furious and think it's wrong that I should never, that it was just wrong for me to, it's like this Lewis guy. They think it's okay for them to insert themselves into politics publicly and speak publicly, but they want, because they're so tender, they want to be wrapped up in a big blanket and nobody, they're just, basically, they act like little millennial liberals. They want to be able to advocate revolution and change the world, but nobody can ever disagree with them, or their feelings are hurt and they need a safe space. Hey, folks, you see this a lot. In this case, it's just absurd because the guy's on TV in a political campaign speaking in the advocacy against one and advocating for another in his commercials, and somehow he's not now part of the good old brass knuckles world of political speech where you can pretty well say anything about anybody. What a baby, in my opinion. Lawyers, that's my opinion, and I have a right to my opinion. I don't actually allege that Mr. Lewis is physically an infant, okay? I just think that y'all have, if you have such thin skin, get out of the political arena. Don't go public with stuff. And that applies to a whole bunch of other people out there. All right, my friends, let's get to this other thing. You know, for all of my life, scholars, including pro-abortion scholars, who were real scholars back when we had some, who appeared on things like Firing Line and real discussion shows and in the pages of National Review and other things, mostly all admitted that Roe versus Wade was an absolute disaster of constitutional law, that everything about it was wrong. I had an interview today, this morning, with Thomas Gipping, senior legal fellow at the Mies Center for Legal and Judicial Studies at the famed Heritage Foundation. And he had a piece out, I think it was in some of the popular press, correcting a grave constitutional error. And he says, the court's decision in the Roe v. Wade decision, which of course was a Texas case, 1973, and Planned Parenthood versus Casey in 1992, creating and upholding a, quote, right, end quote, to abortion, were not only wrongly decided, but are so deeply flawed that the cost of keeping them far outweighs any benefit. In other words, no matter whether you're pro-abortion or not, is his argument. Abortion advocates want to keep what Roe and Casey created, a national policy of nearly unrestricted abortion that most Americans oppose, but they don't even try to defend those decisions as legitimate interpretations and applications of the Constitution. He's talking about serious legal scholars. Obviously, the people in the street do, because they don't understand any of it. Points out the court didn't even try to find the meaning, original or otherwise, of the 14th Amendment, where the right to abortion supposedly resides, according to Justice Blackmun. More than half of Blackmun's House majority opinion in Roe is a rambling, error-ridden account of, quote, abortion history, end quote, and Blackmun never explained how any of it was relevant to the question of whether the Constitution protects a right to abortion. He points out some of the harshest criticism of Roe has come from scholars who actually support abortion rights, and that's right. It took our rights away. And you can listen to this entire I'll have it up either this evening or tomorrow, this entire podcast extra, free of charge, at prattontexas.com. But here's two parts of the interview. I put them together just so you can have a sampling, and it gets to the core of the problem. We're not talking about whether abortion's wrong or right or whatever. We're talking solely about the problem with Roe v. Wade from a legal and constitutional standpoint. Here is Mr. Gipling from from the Heritage Foundation.
We all ought to agree that our system of government should work the way it was designed, that it ought to have integrity. And that means that, you know, you're not going to win all the time. I mean, legislatures don't always do what you want. Courts don't always do what you want. But that's what happens in a free society. And the fact is, if the people of Texas or many other states believe in the value of human life, believe that your life should not be at risk simply because you're too young, which is basically, you know, which is what happens right in the abortion situation, they ought to be able to establish those values. That's what our system of government is designed to do. We ought to believe, you know, our founders wrote the Constitution down, and the U.S. Constitution is one of the shortest in the world. And everyone listening to this ought to read it today. Our founders wrote the Constitution down so that everyone could read what the rules are for government. And when government crosses the line, doesn't matter whether you like it or not, when government crosses the line, that goes too far. And we ought to all believe in that. We ought to all insist on that. Sometimes that means you win. Sometimes that means you lose. But it means that we're all free, and that's most important.
And that's really the fundamental intellectual, I guess, or legal problem with Roe v. Wade, as you've already addressed. You may lose sometimes, but if everybody's following the rules, that doesn't preclude you from influencing people and ultimately gaining victory, even through something as incredibly difficult as a constitutional amendment. But when the courts act out of place, that becomes impossible for all sides.
I think that's right. And I would say to my, you know, I do say to my liberal friends, if you're okay with the Supreme Court making up something you like, what are you going to say when they make up something you don't? That's the bottom line, is the Constitution says what it says. The Supreme Court should respect that as is. so that you and I and our fellow citizens can make the decisions about how this country ought to be.
Again, you can hear the whole interview at prattontexas.com on the podcast page as a podcast extra. On this subject of abortion, there were two really good pieces by two writers I really enjoy reading and I've brought to you before. Amber Athey, The Abortion Insurrection, writing at the Spectator World, and then Matt Purple, who's their online editor of their U.S. edition, they now call the Spectator's World. Yeah, Spectator's the oldest political journal in the world, based in London. It leans conservative. His piece was, what's so progressive about abortion? You know, the progressives are all about it. And part of what he said is what the pro-choice side of the debate seeks to do is end the debate without ever winning it. And by the way, that's what Roe v. Wade did, and that's why you need to go listen to that interview as a podcast. He writes, their arguments are correspondingly a logical pretzel. Progressives insist that constitutional rights like free speech and gun ownership aren't absolute, yet legal abortion is absolute because it's a constitutional right, even though it, unlike those, isn't even mentioned in the Constitution. Choice is bad when it comes to cigarettes and health insurance, but not when it comes to killing a baby. Democracy is good except when the demographics start voting to regulate Planned Parenthood. Marginalized groups must be protected, except for the unborn. The point is that the points don't matter. What pro-choicers ultimately want is for legal abortion to be set out of bounds, an unquestioned national consensus like chilled beer or driving on the right side of the road. The irony is they look to Europe for inspiration, even though Europe is a good deal more conservative on abortion than they are. Keep your laws off my body. It's worth stressing just how few civilized countries actually do that. And he talks about this, and even Canada, how the abortion is far more or less regular there, even though the left loves to talk about these people. And he points out just because they call it progress, it's not. Abortion has actually been rather common throughout history, and it's actually in the Enlightened era with science and things, the general trend has been to push personhood further and further back. Our abortion, you know, and so as we become more enlightened, even in Europe and places, abortion has become less available. He said, some Europeans even view Americans as backwards on abortion. They're right, just not for the reasons they think. It's certainly not progress, even though it's funny the progressives call it a progressive cause. Back in a moment.
Brad on Texas returns after we hear from the folks who make the show possible.
For decades throughout West Texas, Tommy Klein Construction has been a leader in commercial construction. That experience is your assurance that Tommy Klein Construction can do your job right the first time and understands all the government codes with which you must comply. Tommy Klein Construction satisfies state HUB and federal woman-owned business requirements too. Tommy Klein Construction, general commercial building contractors. Reach them at 806-438-3384, 806-438-3384.
You gotta stop before they multiply. Gafford Pest Control.
Have termites? Gafford Pest Control uses the patented Termidor HP injection system. No manual trenching required. For years and years, the proven Termidor system has affordably delivered 100% termite control. Using Termidor HP, Gafford Pest Control can control your termite problem with precise application and no trenching. Take control of your termites. Call Gafford Pest Control, 792-4292.
Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock finds good trucks and reconditions them to be ready to work for you and your business. Mike and Jason have repeat customers from all over the country, even Alaska. Call 806-687-1115 to get Mike and Jason working for you. Visit specialtytrucksoflubbock.com and see their inventory. Solve problems and save money with Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. specialtytrucksoflubbock.com.
Winter's Dozer Service knows you may need terraces built, ponds dug out, or water runoff routes worked to save that water and soil. And Winter's Dozer Service stands ready to get the job done safely and productively. Jump on those projects now with Winter's Dozer Service. Conservation, construction, and cleanup. Winter's Dozer Service has the equipment ready, so contact them or dig up more info by visiting wintersdozerservice.com. That's wintersdozerservice.com.
Liberty is hard, which means putting up with things you may find objectionable. Now here's a man the enemies of liberty object to. It's Robert Pratt with more Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. I highly recommend Amber Athey's piece at spectatorworld.com, The Abortion Insurrection. You might want to go read that because it's just another point piece pointing out the absolute disgraceful hypocrisy of Biden and the administration and all of them about, the demonstrations, demonstrating at the Capitol, that's somehow insurrection. But we can even, these people at the justices' homes are actually violating express federal law, and nobody cares about it. And, they said Trump was too long in condemning the Capitol riot. It took him hours, but it took the Biden administration a week to condemn the demonstrations that violate federal law in front of the justices' homes, and that stuff's still ongoing. The piece is good. It's by Amber Athey, The Abortion Insurrection at SpectatorWorld.com. I need to shift to border news for a moment. There are two things. One I've known about for a while, haven't had time to bring you, but there was a new version of a story out, and now it's taken shape. Abbott's knee-jerk, just incompetent, really. This whole border stuff is all to look tough, but it's not doing much. But his deal that didn't do anything, had nothing to do with illegal aliens or human smuggling, the truck inspections that just cost us billions in trade, is going to have massive long-term consequences. You know, we have those ports of trade into Texas, not just because where the railroads were, but we lobbied. We worked hard to get all this and make the, because the trade is so valuable. It's such an economic thing for Texas. Well, New Mexico has the big port just over from El Paso, the Santa Teresa port, and they don't get as much of that trade. And they don't have a rail line going through there, even though they have all the major rail connections just north, well, in that exact area, to both Union Pacific and Santa Fe, and up north to Albuquerque again, to major rail lines, including the old Rock Island. Is it Rock Island? That goes all the way to Santa Rosa and then goes on down. That's still one of the major vehicle carriers. That takes you up to the Rust Belt. They don't get much of that. Well, they're going to get it, and it's all because the governor's ill-thought-out, ill-planned disaster that he had to run away from. Borderland Beat points out that they had a meeting. They actually met, the Mexican and U.S. governments have agreed to divert some northbound crossing border traffic from Texas to New Mexico in retaliation for that program that Abbott put there without much thought. Some traffic will be diverted to the border crossing between San Jeronimo, Chihuahua, and Santa Teresa, New Mexico. That crossing, south of Las Cruces, is approximately 25 kilometers, just a little while west of El Paso. The feds now, because it's Biden, they're already given the money to expand the port so they can take a lot more commercial vehicle traffic. And so they had the meeting yesterday, between the Foreign Affairs Minister, Ebrard, and the U.S. Secretary, that's Mexican's Foreign Affairs Minister, and the U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security, Mayorkas. It'll take months to implement. Final decision to expand the border crossing was taken in New Mexico after reaching the conclusion Mexico couldn't trust Texas as a trade partner. More stringent vehicle inspection program, which lasted about a week till it totally blew up on Abbott, caused long delays for truckers and generated substantial economic loss. Ebrard, the Mexican foreign minister, accused Texas governor of extortion for his negotiation methods with the governors of those states, saying he attempted blackmail instead of looking for compromise. It's extortion. Okay, look, he's partly right on that. I don't know that it's not criminal extortion. It's just it's not an agreement. I told you none of these so-called agreements he made with them were going to last more than 5 days. To reduce Mexico's reliance on border crossings with Texas and export to the U.S., they're going to consider now building a rail link to the New Mexico border. And I think they'll follow through with this presidency that they have. This was a really stupid, stupid flailing of the arms to chest thump by Abbott, not thinking it through. Look, politically, Abbott's right on a lot of stuff. I really love his school choice we talked about yesterday. The problem is he seems incompetent at actually, the executive part of it, of running things. It's all political windsock watching. This whole billions we're spending on the border, we're not doing anything to interdict illegal immigration. And that brings us to a really good piece put out by the Heritage Foundation today. New Border Security and Texas Public Policy Foundation, they're part of it. New Border Security Coalition provides Congress with roadmap to end Biden border crisis and truly reduce illegal immigration. In part, their letter says, when the 118th Congress opens with new majorities in both chambers, it'll be in large part because Americans have rejected Biden administration's purposeful dismantling of our nation's borders. And they got all these loopholes and stuff. So here, Here are some of the bullet points. Now, some, I'm not going to go into detail on these, but I love the very first point because it's one of the problems that I've witnessed way back when I used to cross that border almost daily, you know, for a decade. I just witnessed this. It's just crazy the way our system works. The first point of these things, create an authority, legal authority, to immediately expel illegal aliens across the border. See, most of you think that's what used to think that's what happens. No. We watch them swim across, walk across, you take them into custody. Oh, no, then you go into this big, expensive to the taxpayer process and all this other crap. Bull. We watch them walk across the border, you pick them up, you ought to be able to immediately, that same day, expel them and put them back across the border, period. Substantially reform the asylum system. Boy, this needs it. Didn't need it before, but now the left has just decided to abuse the heck out of it, including clarifying that an alien is ineligible for asylum in the U.S. if they traversed a safe third country. That's fitting with international law. You're supposed to go to the first safe country. Well, they're walking through multiple safe countries. End the disparate treatment of contiguous versus non-contiguous unaccompanied alien children under the Trafficking Victims Protection Reauthorization Act. Fix the Flores 20-day detention ruling. Raise the credible fear standard. Of course, that's being abused like crazy. Mandate and appropriate resources for completion of a border wall system. End abuse of the parole authority. Yeah, because they just parole everybody into the country now with no evidence. These people haven't even presented evidence yet that they should be allowed to stay. Restrict prosecutorial discretion to remove it as the catch-all excuse for limiting immigration enforcement. Bingo. Mandate full implementation of the migrant protection protocols, otherwise known as Remain in Mexico. Codify matter of AB, which clarifies that gang violence and domestic violence are not grounds for asylum, of course. Eliminate discretionary grants of employment authorization under a particular chapter of the law. These are all very good things, and they've got a lot of quotes. There are a lot of groups involved in this. Organizations and former senior officials. This is a good roadmap. But most Americans, maybe now they're not surprised, but years ago they were surprised, and I was surprised to learn when I used to cross the border a lot and stop and talk to these people that we don't, when we physically stand there and watch them climb the fences, go through the concrete canals, and watch them come over on the west side of El Paso from Anapra in Juarez. It's kind of a little bit of a slum over on the far west side. You can see it, look out over it from University of Texas, El Paso. It was shocking to learn that when the guys interdict them and pick them up, you don't just expel them the same day. Oh, no, they get into this typical bureaucratic crap. Well, we got to have due process, Robert. Really? They're aliens. They're not subject to the authority of the United States. They were caught red-handed, so to speak. We can video it all now. They were caught crossing illegally. There's nothing unjust about immediately putting them back over. Now, the asylum process, now the left has told the whole world and Biden's told the whole world, you just claim asylum and you get to stay here now. That's what they're doing with the asylum laws and why those have to be worked on. And we've got to stop that because everybody, I read all these heart-tugging deals and, well, he showed a scar. I got scars. My wife has scars. Do you have scars? I have a brother-in-law has a scar and across the nose. They point to these and, something happened on the farm or when you were growing up and this is de facto proof that this person was attacked by government forces in Nicaragua or Honduras or somewhere. It's bull. It's got to stop. It's got to have a much higher bar to show that you deserve to be considered for asylum. Anyway, that's all we've got time for today, my friends. Long live liberty. Long live Texas. And may God make us a people worthy of his blessings. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Pratt on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock, tuned to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tuned to 96.1 FM Q Country.